Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to go within to find your true self. Today I welcome Betsy Thompson, a former guest and wonderful guest on Healing From Within, who will share thoughts on her newest book, Love Human. As author of Walking Through Illusion, The Mirror Theory, Love Parent, and You Are What You Think, Betsy has discovered her passion for communicating the universal laws of spirit so people may have the opportunity to know themselves better, moving past blame and assuming personal responsibility for creating a life that is human and also humane. Hello, Betsy, and thank you for joining us today on Healing From Within.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here.
I always love to read your new books, and I was delighted to be able to have you on the show. Betsy, as listeners of this show are aware, really, really well aware, my guests and I seek to explore the duality of our physical and spiritual worlds in the hope of creating a better version of ourselves while developing a greater awareness of our intuitive gifts, and then using all our spiritual talents for self-investigation and to master our emotions so we can improve our human and our inner soul condition. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Betsy will share a most descriptive and clear view of where you come from and where you are ultimately going. Often in life, we are so concerned about our physical and emotional survival that we find or make little time to ask and answer these important questions. But when a challenge or trauma or event shakes up our belief that we are in control of our lives, we may begin to see that we are more than we appear to be, and life is more than merely surviving our daily issues. Betsy, I often ask my guests to think back to a story or event or a question that they had when they were younger, either in childhood or adulthood, and to realize the important values and truths that they now share with their friends and children and fellow citizens as adults and the work that they do. So it may have started in childhood or maybe later down the road, but share something about what's important to you.
Well, I mean, the book itself is really about what's life all about and what are we doing here and why did we come and what's it all about. And before the show started, we were talking about the challenge that we all have today to accept what's happening in the world. And so the book sort of speaks to that, too, because it talks about the idea that we are all on an individual path and we all have our soul understands what we are here to do and why we have come and what our contribution is. And just because we don't understand what it is for other people doesn't mean that their souls don't understand. And so it's really about allowing them to have their journey with our blessing instead of our judgment, and knowing that we have no idea what people come here for and why they, how long they want to be here, what they hope to accomplish while they're here, and therefore our only real option is to trust that every soul knows why it's here, and that's enough.
Right, and you also said it helps us embrace the world as it is and the people around us as they are, and love whatever that is. That is the truth, the true way to compassion and to being at peace with yourself and with the world.
Absolutely, because life never runs perfectly until we know that it's perfect the way it is. And when, you know, when you, people look at things, you have a choice of looking at things through a lens of tragedy or a lens of growth. And you'll be a lot more peaceful within if you can think of everyone's journey as being a journey of growth. And we don't know the growth that other people need, and we don't know why they came here and why the journey here was wise, even if it's a short one. And so, therefore, we only have the option of trusting because it's the only thing that makes any sense.
So that's a really important word, trust. Now, how did you find the subject matter for the book?
Well, I think it's this book answers a lot of questions that I have myself. I think my books always come out of what I'm curious about and the answers that I want for myself, and fortunately, my questions are kind of universal, and so therefore, a lot of other people relate to them too. But it's about why we come here in the first place, and I think it's all about coming here to experience whatever we didn't experience in a past lifetime, or whatever challenge we had in the past lifetime that we couldn't deal with. We've come here to try again, because I don't believe that in a world that is the world in front of us is constantly rebirthing. Nature is constantly rebirthing. So why would we be the only ones that didn't rebirth? And I believe that we do, and that we come here, and we are evolving, and each journey is further into our evolvement, and it's an emotional journey. And it's much easier to remember that it's an emotional journey, and we are here for emotional growth when we remember that the picture we see is an illusion, and it could be here today and gone tomorrow. And so the only lasting thing about our journey is the emotional journey that we're on. And so that's where the focus needs to be if we want to understand what being here is all about.
Absolutely. And you wrote something that made a lot of sense to me. You wrote, because it was impossible to get others to behave as I wanted them to, I stopped looking for happiness from understanding their psyches and started searching for happiness from understanding my own. And this is what's going on right now in the world. We cannot get all the people to understand. We're all at different levels of our evolution and our awareness, levels of awareness. So we have to allow each person their time and their way to move forward, because there is no right or wrong, and there is no end to life. We are eternal sources of being, and we are gathering experience and wisdom, and we cannot judge another person's path. And
we can only ask ourselves, what are we? What can we learn from what's going on? Because the things that bother us the most in other people are usually things that we need to look at in ourselves. Because I believe that the world is kind of like a mirror for us, and we meet our reflection in other people, and so therefore, whatever we are, the people we are facing have something to tell us about ourselves, and so therefore they are a gift in our lives, even if they sometimes don't feel like a gift. They are, because they're helping us to see what we need to focus on in ourselves. And it is only when we get distracted by what other people are doing that we feel that life is terribly confusing, and how can you make any sense of things, because then we're focused on the outside and what's going on around us instead of what's going on inside of us. And we're the only ones who can deal with what's going on inside of us. And so that's where the focus needs to be.
Yeah, we're all human, and none of us are perfect or ever will be in a human life. And we all have to learn to allow, accept, and surrender to whatever's happening, because all is right in the moment, and then the moment is gone, and we're on to something new, and that gives us a great deal of peace when we truly embrace that, and when we truly understand that. So let's go on. What is one of the most important ideas in Love Human?
I think it's the idea that we are more powerful than we think we are. We are in control of our attitudes and our opinions, and whatever attitudes and opinions we keep, we attract back. We just have to make sure that we act out the ones we want to receive. And I think that we have this incredible energy inside of us, and or I call it the God within all of us, and we really do have a lot of more control over our lives than we sometimes want to admit, because whatever we are putting out there, for instance, if I am putting out disrespect towards other people, the universe interprets that as my interpretation of love, because the universe thinks everything is love. So if I'm disrespectful, the universe says, oh, Betsy thinks disrespect is love, so let's give her lots more disrespect back.
We definitely don't want to do that.
Yes. But that's how it works. The universe doesn't have any ears to hear us. It only has its essence, in which it can feel our essence and respond.
Yes, and I say that the divine spark of love is within each of us. You called it the God force just now, and it is that divine force of universal life and creation that is in each of us.
We're constantly creating our life by what we put out out towards other people. We are constantly creating it. And so that's why it shouldn't be any surprise when you get back the way you behave, you get back the same behavior in other people, because that's what the universe thinks you want.
So how? Let's let our listeners know how one might find more comfort.
We have to find the comfort where we don't think there's any comfort. So we find more comfort by finding comfort in discomfort. And it's about, you know, asking ourselves, looking at our lives and saying, where do I not have love? This is another chapter about, you know, how do I find more love? And basically it's the same principle of asking yourself, where do I feel uncomfortable? And then bringing that situation more love, because that's the only way you're going to find the more that you need. You can't find it from what's already comfortable, so it has to be from where you aren't comfortable.
Absolutely. And you say, what kind of a God would have you searching for comfort outside yourself? So
right.
It is within us. We have all possibilities for creating comfort, love, and whatever else it we want from within us. In my book, The Living Spirit, I suggest that comfort or being grounded in your physical and soul being comes from truly knowing that you are spiritual beings having a physical life for the purpose of refining your inner essence and creating vibrations of love, acceptance, and compassion. And I wrote, there is a pattern and meaning to all things in heaven and on earth, and for each human there are people and events designed to guide us to face our fears and negative thoughts so that we can fully realize our most loving selves or the divine spark of God within.
Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, I think that before we come here, we set up our challenges because we know our soul knows that the growth we need, and it knows the growth we need, and so it sets up the challenges that it believes will force us to go within to find what we need, force us to go within to find the comfort and the love and the courage and the integrity, because that's really the only place it is. And so we want those. Even though we hate sometimes to deal with the challenges we have them because they're good for us, or we need them, or we've asked for them in some way. We know that they are what we need to go through for what we hope to learn.
And I remember one day saying to someone that I work with, he was having another challenging experience, and I said, well, please just look at it as an opportunity to rise above it and to create something joyful and good from it. And he says,
yeah.
I think I've had enough of these building blocks that I really would like to stop now. But I said, but no, you have to see it. You have to change your perception. And you have to see everything, not as good or bad, just
yeah.
as an expression of God's energy and the mirroring factor that you talk
yeah.
about, where we can
yeah.
see ourselves more clearly and become more of that divine essence that we really are.
The problem is if you don't accept the challenge as timely for you, the challenge happens over and over and over, because the soul doesn't give up. The soul doesn't give up on the growth it came here to live. So if you won't deal with the challenge and where you can grow from what happened and how you can find the good in what happened or the way you were able to deal in a better way, if you don't find that growth and you refuse to find anything good about what happened or any growth in what happened, then the soul just creates another situation for you to try again.
Well, that's very well said, and thank you very much. So we're going to ask ourselves and our listeners for acceptance and more happiness as we move along the channel to finding peace and freedom and that higher connection or alignment to the God source or to universal energy, however you see it. And that's how I see it now. It begins when you're at a certain level of awareness. Acceptance, greater happiness, letting go of control issues, and finding your way forward to the best in yourself, that divine spark in yourself. Now let's go on to a question. Does life exist in outer space? What do you think about that?
Okay, well, this chapter asks the question, do other universes exist? And if they do, where are they? And the book says that they exist in universal substance, where every thought exists, and they vibrate in every direction the eyes can see and every direction the heart can feel. And to experience the beauty in all of them is to experience the beauty in this one. Because the same thing is happening in all of them. They are just people who inhabit other universes are doing exactly what we're doing, adding and subtracting to their imagination in the universal planet that appeals to their evolution.
You know, this brings a funny story to mind. I once met a medium a long time ago, before I was even involved in these interests or work, and he said to me, you've spent a lot of time in other universes, and it's gonna be a little hard for you in this life to realize how people are functioning, because it's gonna seem a little primitive to you. And then I got involved in energy work and awareness, and I was blocking a lot of that for many years. It was there as a child in my childhood, but I had no people around me to encourage that type of search or seeking or research, or so I quieted it like many people do, and I lived in the physical world until such time as events happened that reopened my interests and channeled my abilities. And it's very interesting that you said, yes, I believe there are many, many universes and many life forms. And many people have already talked, and I've done many shows with people who have already experienced interactions with other life forms.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make any sense that it would be any other way, because my ideas always have to make sense to me. And the thing is that all we have to do is look at our own planet and look at the multitude of choices there are for how you want to live your life here. I mean, incredible choices that go on and on into the millions and millions of ways you can live your life, the things you can do while here, the interests you can have. So if we have the kind of an imagination that could create the Earth the way it is now, why wouldn't we have created other universes where we could grow there too? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It would just be this one place in the middle of existence where you could go and live a life in a human form. It just doesn't make any sense. We would never limit ourselves that much.
And also, I agree with you. And also, look at all the life forms on this planet. Look at all the types of plant and animal and human life. So the species is endless. I mean, the things we can think of and create are just in our imagination are endless, so to put it. Now, a lot of people might ask, will I rebirth into other lifetimes on this planet or somewhere else? Well, I just sort of answered that before, that I was told I was in other places.
You rebirth into more love wherever that love takes you. And so you would rebirth wherever you felt there was progress for you. Who knows where that would be, because each person would rebirth wherever they felt their progress could be found. That it could be in this universe, it could be in another universe, it could be anything they would rebirth into that their soul believes would be the next step in their progress.
Well, that would bring us to the next question. Since we rebirth to look for greater love within ourselves and to share that with others, so how do we find more love?
It's about how we perceive our lives and the power of that perception. That's what I believe, because if we see our life as unpredictable, then we feel afraid. If we see our life as entertaining, we feel amused. If we see our life as hateful, we feel angry. If we see our life as helpful, we feel grateful. And so it's about how we perceive our life. I really believe that switch has to happen within us in terms of finding more love. It has to happen where we decide to see the world in a way that adds love to our life.
Yeah, and you actually wrote, you find more love from changing your attitude. God is not withholding from you. You are withholding from yourself and others by your perceptions and your attitudes. Correct?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I agree with you. And once we start to get a handle on this, we start to pay attention to repeated patterns, and we get a little red flag when we're going into an attitude or belief that's not going to work for us, we can pull back. We don't have to embrace it. We can disengage from it and allow something else to come into us.
Yeah, it's about forming a new habit. It's like I was in the habit for the first half of my life of using blame as a way of coping. And so, therefore, anything that happened to me, I had somebody to blame for it. And so it really... what it did was I attracted my mirror. Lots of people willing to blame me for all their problems. That's how it works. And so it got me to being almost a homeless person, the constant blame over and over and what it was drawing into my life. And when I took a review of my life and said, what I'm doing is not working for me. You know, this philosophy I have is not working for me. It's getting me in a place where I don't want to be. It's going to get me out of this dream before I'm ready to go. And so I had to get into the habit of saying, is this the kind of thought I want to have in my head? Is this what I want to draw back to me, other blamers? And when I realized that it was not that much more complicated than that, I started taking responsibility. And as I started taking responsibility for my life and not blaming other people, I started attracting people into my life who also took responsibility. And then everything turned around.
That's absolutely the way to go. We want to be with people who are on our vibration and thinking with us, and there will be others who don't, and that's okay, because they will find people who they resonate with, and we're all sharing, so we're all learning, and we all see what feels good and comfortable and right and gives us love and brings us to a fuller level of our potential. And in any way, we will seek that out. Ultimately, we will find a different reality, and that's what we're here to do. That's what a physical life is about, for a soul to begin to remember who we are as these divine sparks of love who can create a better life for ourselves and for others and the world. And ultimately, we're all going to find that, if not in this time and place, somewhere else. But let's go on to judgments, because we're living in a time right now with what's going on in the world, with terrorism and war, and people very confused about how to go forward. Are judgments helpful? So judgments of good, bad, wrong, and right, which fuel this idea of war, are they helpful?
Well, I think that I don't think they are helpful, because I don't think the universe judges any belief as good, bad, wrong, or right, because it knows that all are the needed growth in the people who have them. So every choice that a person makes, everything that happens nothing is happening that doesn't have to do with growth and progress. And the judgment comes from a person. Judgment comes from within all of us when we don't want to deal with ourselves. Look what's happening over there. Look what's happening over there. Look what's happening at that person. Look what that person's doing, so that we don't have to deal with what's going on within ourselves. And with this world that it is now, with what's just happened, with the bombs going off and the people being massacred, mm-hmm. and everything, what I'm saying to the people around me, I don't know if anybody's listening, but it's what I believe, and I want to keep believing it. I say that we cannot judge what people have come here to do and the gift they have to contribute. And what if these people who have been killed, that is their gift to us, to try to bring the world together in peace? And isn't that happening? We are now gathering together in a way that we weren't before, because every nation who is touched by the violence wants to join with others to protect themselves. And so the world is coming together in a way that it never has before.
This is part of a divine plan. I mean, I believe you come into this world for a specific amount of time, and there's nothing bad when you have to leave, because there is life after this, and we are eternal beings. And you're absolutely right. Everything is happening according to a plan of evolution and creation that might not seem right at the moment. We don't want to see anyone suffer, of course. That's the humanity in us. That's being human, feeling, having emotions.
Yeah.
But you are absolutely right. Good will ultimately triumph over anything that seems inappropriate or evil at the moment.
Yes, and if you can see that, but even the people who are the killers have come here for a reason.
Yes.
So even they are contributing to this idea of bringing peace to the world, because there has to be the killer to be the killed, and so therefore they are part of that program. And it isn't about, you know, saying what horrible people there are. It's about seeing a bigger picture of this, what's going on, seeing it as something that is happening for all of us, and they have given us a gift too. And I know that because they are part of the program that is happening. And I know it's hard sometimes to release people that you see as killers, but who knows what we've lived in a past lifetime? Who knows what any of us lived in a past lifetime?
Absolutely.
And so we need to see it from the bigger picture, because that's the only thing that brings you more peace in your heart. There's no peace from seeing people as evil and horrible. There's no peace in that, because whatever we put out, we invite back.
Well, that's what all religions talk about: forgiveness, acceptance, surrendering, and knowing that since we're not perfect, in imperfection sometimes comes again a greater opportunity for this collective personal growth and collective growth, and it's what's happening in the world right now. So we're going to have to forgive people that are suffering so that they don't value life at the moment and have a philosophy that's not their fault. They inherited a lot of these thoughts as children.
It doesn't matter where it came from. You know, it's their journey, and it isn't. If it isn't your journey, bless them on their path. And because if you judge, you just spread judgment out into the world. Whatever you focus on is going to expand. So if you focus on judgment, then judgment's going to expand. If you focus on forgiveness and love, then love and forgiveness are going to expand. So ask yourself, what do you see? What do you want to see more of in the world? And then be the person who is spreading whatever that is.
All right, well, you and I in our books wrote about miracles, and that's what I want to see. I want to see miracles exist in any country, in any language, to anyone willing to release, forgive, and move on. And you wrote this, actually. I'm going to read it again. Betsy,
okay.
You wrote this. Miracles exist in any country, in any language, to anyone willing to release, forgive, and move on. To create a miracle is to look for love where you didn't think it existed. Not as a gift that others give to you, but as a gift you give to yourself. With that thought, I want to say I want to thank you, Betsy Thompson, author of Love Human, for sharing your thoughts on ways to develop new perceptions and attitudes for greater healing and awareness of our inner self, and to bring this to our conscious life into the present and to create new improved life patterns that bring greater joy and happiness into all our soul journeys. New feelings encourage new actions, and new actions create new results. For more information on how to use these concepts in Betsy's book and to assist you in self-development and reaching a higher level of consciousness and to purchase this masterful book, go to BetsyThompson.com. In summarizing our show today on Healing From Within, we have discussed the ways our mind and our body and our spirit guide us to remember the true nature of the wholeness of life and our eternal energy and concepts that relate to states of reality, rebirth, imagination, and manifestation, and the state of love and grace we can create through our thoughts, actions, dreams, and through using the magic of our spiritual awareness to create miracles. Betsy and I would have you remember to embrace yourself and others as they are in this moment, and without judgment, blame, or expectation, to watch as change is invited through these hopes and remembrances of love and our eternal connection to the God Source. Betsy wrote, Love Human deals with many topics around the give-receive concept, our universe, possible other universes, transition, rebirth, our presence here, and what it's all about. Love Human also speaks to the subject of health, dreams, peace, and miracles. The purpose of the information is not to differentiate between fact and fiction, but to help us embrace the world as it is and the people around us as they are, and love whatever that is, not because it's a perfect world, but because as we love and accept life as it is, love and acceptance grow. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com. To hear and read about the evolving state of change, transition, and transformation offered by leaders in the metaphysical, scientific, educational, and medical communities as we search for answers and solutions to self-improvement and a world that must reflect the best of our human potential. Shows are also available on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you for listening.